and let's work through this. If plan A didn't work, let's go to plan B. If plan B don't work, let's go to plan C. But we got to do something to deal with this lion. We got to do something to deal with this excuse. Excuses set us up to waste time dodging imaginary obstacles. You know, I love the New Living Translation of this verse, and it says that the slugger says, there might be a lion in the street. There might be a lion. So he's not even going to go out. So when you become an excuse maker, that you begin to put up things where you dodge imaginary obstacles. And so it's irrational to allow excuses to keep us from doing the things that we're supposed to do.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the start of a new series titled More Than Conquerors, Conquering the Lion in the Streets. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Conquering the Lion in the Street.
I've been captivated by two books, especially in preparation for this message and this series. The first book is called Still Faithful, Stories of God at Work in Pittsburgh, from 1952 to 2018. This book was just released. As a matter of fact, this is hot off the press. And let me read something that it says on the back. It says, this book will show you how God has been unmistakably at work in Pittsburgh, and it will inspire you to live the faithfulness and obedience that can enable God to work just as powerfully through you. Right? Now, you know the interesting thing about this book and how that it relates to Bethany? There's a whole chapter in here on Bethany Baptist Church. The history of Bethany Baptist Church, where it talks about over the years how ordinary people just did what God called them to do. And many people sitting in this room right here, their names are mentioned in this book. A whole chapter on Bethany Baptist Church, Still Faithful, saying that Bethany is a part of the fabric, the spiritual fabric of Pittsburgh. That's a powerful testimony. And again, it's 1952 through today. But the history of Bethany, it went all the way back to the beginning of Bethany Baptist Church. And so, you know, again, Still Faithful, Stories of God at Work in Pittsburgh and using Bethany Baptist Church. The other book is a book that I've had since I've been called to preach. And this book is called More Than Conquerors. And I'll be sharing throughout this series a lot of stories in here, because it has stories from people in politics, in business, in sports, in entertainment, and it gives their testimonies of how they, in spite of or in the face of insurmountable difficulties, how that they were able to trust God and come through it as a conqueror. More than conquerors. That's what we're talking about today. How we can be more than conquerors. And as I thought about, you know, this congregation, that those of you sitting out there today, that there are many, and maybe one day we'll do a book just on Bethany, for Bethany, of people in this congregation who have, in the face of insurmountable odds, overcome through the power of the Lord. Now, sometimes you do this, and I don't want to slight anybody else, but, and I know this sister probably, I asked her, could I do this, all right? But Sister Cynthia Adams, you know, here this sister was hit by a car, right? in ICU, and through the power of prayer, through the faith in God, overcame. Sitting here today, interpreting for us, you know, that's what it's talking about. More than conquerors, people who have the ability that in spite of their circumstances, that they are still able to overcome. What are you facing this morning? You know, what are you going through this new year? What obstacle seems to be insurmountable in your life? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And as we talk about this, I'm going to be looking at the scripture, you know, of some great people who have overcome. But today I want to do a little different twist, because I think that, you know, there's an obstacle that we need to overcome before we can be a conqueror. And so what I want to talk about this morning is in Proverbs chapter 22 and also Proverbs chapter 26. And it says this, as we think about this idea of conquering, is that the slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Proverbs 22 and verse 13. And then Proverbs 26 and verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the street. So how does this lion work in relationship to us being a conqueror? Well, we see that the lion represents an excuse. The lion represents an excuse for why we can't do what God has called us to do. There are many people that have difficulties and they could come up with excuses why they can't do it. But if you're an overcomer, excuses are not an option. What is an excuse? An excuse is an explanation used to defend or justify a fault, an offense, or a lack of desire and effort to achieve a goal. Wow. That an excuse is something that you come up with to explain why you didn't do what you were supposed to do. My. An excuse is a explanation of why you can't do something that God has called you to do. And I want to say this morning that overcomers are not excuse makers. Now, we see a couple of things here about excuses. And the first thing that we see about excuses as we look at this lion, the man would not go out into the street. He said that there was a lion in the street and that he refused to go out because the lion was out there. And so excuses give us a reason to avoid reality. That when you come up with an excuse, that you look out there and you see this lion in the street, and the reality is that the lion is out there, so we need to realize that you can't stay locked up in the crib all the time, right? That you got to go out in the streets. But as long as I can come up with the excuse that a lion is out there, I'm going to stay in the house. I'm not going to go out. And when we think about the kingdom of God, that God calls us to step out on faith, God calls us to take risk. You know, just by nature of the fact that we are building a new sanctuary, you know, we stepped out on faith. We took a risk. You know, we are trusting God. You know, we could have said there's a lion in there. Let's just stay right here and be comfortable with us four no more and shut the door, right? But you step out and you take a risk. But when the lion is out there and you come up with excuses that the lion is out there, you are avoiding reality. You don't want to deal with what's real. You want to have this little comfort zone life where you're just tucked away. But the fact that that lion is out there, people use that as an excuse. Excuses give us a reason to not address the problems in our life, right? There's a lion out there. So what do we do? Do we just let the lion continue to run the streets, intimidating folks? No, somebody got to step up. Somebody got to come to the plate and say, hey, we're not going to let this lion intimidate us. No, I'm not stupid enough to think that I'm going to go out there and deal with this lion one-on-one. But you can believe this, that I'm not going to let this lion keep me stuck in my house. That there has to be something that we can do. And so instead of making excuses why you're not going to do anything, let's sit down and let's work through this. If plan A didn't work, let's go to plan B. If plan B don't work, let's go to plan C. But we got to do something to deal with this lion. We got to do something to deal with this excuse. Excuses set us up to waste time dodging imaginary obstacles. You know, I love the New Living Translation of this verse, and it says that the slugger says, there might be a lion in the street. There might be a lion. So he's not even going to go out. So when you become an excuse maker, that you begin to put up things where you dodge imaginary obstacles. And so it's irrational to allow excuses to keep us from doing the things that we're supposed to do. Lions keep you from your God-ordained purposes. Lions keep you from your God-ordained purposes. Spiritually, we know we're supposed to be reading the scripture on a regular basis. That is the lifeline. That is the blood of the believer. And yet and still, as Christians, sometimes we can go days and weeks on end without cracking the Word of God open. And we come to church on Sunday, and I'm glad that you come. And you know, we try to prepare a meal for you. I say, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. We try to prepare a meal for you. We try to prepare a buffet when you come on Sunday. But you know what? You got to have those nutritious meals throughout the week. And you got to be into the Word of God. You got to be praying. You know, one of the things that we're going to talk about this year is discipleship. That we all should be in some type of discipleship relationship. And yet and still, we let those lions, right? We let those lions keep us back from doing the things that God wants us to do. Those things that are going to benefit our lives. Those things that are going to cause us to grow intellectually. You know, God has called some people, and you know, I thank God that there's been a couple people in this church that later on in life, that they decided that they were going to go back to school and tackle their education. And they could have very easily allowed the lion to keep them from doing that. But we need to allow ourselves to be stretched intellectually in things that God has called us to do. And then even physically to, you know, and again, you know, I'm up here and I'm probably one of the biggest violators, and I know about excuses in this area, and that's physically. You know, that we all need to take care of ourselves, right? As far as eating right, exercise, that's something we need to do. But oh, the lions are out there. Oh, the lions are out there. I mean, just think of the reason that you don't exercise, right? Or you don't eat right. Just think of what are your reasons? Or excuses, right? Or excuses. So these lions are everywhere, and they keep us from our God-ordained purposes. 10 years ago, I did a survey at Bethany Baptist Church. And given it's been 8-9 years, the landscape of Bethany has changed, but there might still be some of the same things permeating among us even today. But we did a survey asking members, what are the reasons for not accomplishing the goals that that you have? And you'll see 31% or 35% said not enough time, 31% lacked the resources, 22% fear, 6% said that they were too old and no energy, 6% said they had no excuse, and then there was a negative spiritual reason, which was, you know, less than 1%. So you see that here's the landscape of people here that said that these are the reasons why they are not accomplishing their goals. Now, look at this next slide. We asked them this question too. Did the Lord give you that goal? Did the Lord give you that goal? 81% said yes. 5% was not sure, and 14% said no. So what is that saying? That's saying that 81% of the people at that time realized that God had given them a specific goal and that they weren't working on it. They came up with reasons. Too old, not enough resources, too tired. You know, so when you think about, you know, those things, those are just excuses. And when we think about excuses, there's a book, Dr. Wayne Dyer, and in the book, he lists 19 reasons or excuses that people come up with for things. Now, I didn't take all 19, but I took some of them. And so when we think about excuses, right? Excuses. It's too hard. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's an excuse. I can't afford it. If God told you to do it, as 81% of the people said, God told me to do it, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I'm too old. Caleb, at 85 years of age, said, give me that mountain. 85 years of age. People say, well, yeah, people lived longer back then. Yeah, but he was still 85 years old. He was still 85. Right? People say, I'm too busy. Jesus, as busy as he was, the night before he was crucified, he said, Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. Are you too, are you too busy to do what God has told you to do? If you are using that as an excuse, I'm too busy, then you need to sit down and you need to rearrange the priorities in your life so that you are making sure that you are doing what God told you to do. Man, I would hate, and we're going to talk about this at the end of the sermon today, but I would hate to stand before the Lord and stand before at the judgment seat of Christ and then say to the Lord, Lord, I did everything that I wanted to do. I was too busy to do what you wanted me to do. Jesus found time to do the will of the Father. It will take too long. It will take too long. Moses was on the backside of the desert for 40 years. 40 years it took before God was able to use him. Remember, he went down there and he saw that Egyptian mistreating that Hebrew, and he killed the Egyptian because he was trying to do God's will. And then God had to put him on the backside of the desert for 40 years. And then finally God was able to use him. People say, I have limitations. I don't have the ability. Gideon, he was hiding from the Midianites when the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, arise, O mighty man of valor. What? See, you can't be what people call you. You got to look at what God calls you. And if God calls you to do something, there are no limitations on what you can do. My first year of college, I flunked out because all I wanted to do was party. I remember, I think I got like a 0.7 or something like that. And they said, well, you can't come back. And you know, I began to think that there was something intellectual or there was something, you know, that mentally that I wasn't able to do. But as I got focused and as I came into this relationship with Christ and I realized that there are no limitations on what God would have you to do. Now, there might be some limitations in life, that things that we can't do. You know, we can't go out and play in the NBA, right? If we can't jump, if we're not tall, you know what I'm saying? You know, there was a few guys that were 5-something that went out, but they were exceptional. So we realized that there might be some things that physically would limit us. But if God called you to do it, there's no limitation on what it is. You know, and would to God that young people, you know, would realize this, that the only limitations that you are going to experience are the limitations that you put on yourself. That if you will allow the Lord to work in your life and flow through your life, man, the sky is the limit for you with God on your side. Man, other people, and I don't know how many times I've heard this, other people are against me. Other people, you know, I would do something, but the man is keeping me down. Right? I mean, you hear that all the time. But you look at Joseph. He had all kind of opposition. He had opposition from his brothers. He had opposition from Potiphar's wife. He had opposition, you know, even when he was in the prison. Joseph had opposition all the way long. But he rose to the second in command in Egypt. And why was that? Because he had the right perspective. And he didn't let that become an excuse. He didn't let it become an excuse. Well, you know, I was raised in a bad family. People were against me. My dad did this to me, or my mom, she did that to me. You know, again, if you've been in situations where you were abused physically, sexually, you know, whatever, man, you need to deal with that. And that was real for you. And I understand that was real, something that you had to deal with, something that put emotional scars on you, something that did a psychological thing to you. I realize that. And I, you know, I pray for you, and you need to deal with that. But at what point do you just say, I got to rise above this? I got to rise above this. As Joseph, man, can you imagine how emotionally scarred he must have been to have your brothers throw you in the pit and then sell you? But he rose above it. I'm afraid. On the night that Jesus, the night before Jesus was crucified, Peter and all the disciples fled. They were cowards.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Conquering the Lion in the Street, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. The entire 9-part series, More Than Conquerors, is made available by request, either by phone at 877-831-5060 or by visiting our website, anchoredinjesus.org. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.